All right, so let's move. I want to share a few scriptures. That's going to be sharing a few scriptures about, I titled the sermon, God Gives, or He Gives, because all I've been able to think about in this time is now hostess. I still can't share anything, Tori. So I won't be able to share the scriptures, but that's okay. That's just Zoom being Zoom and having his way. That's all right. Let's see if he's gonna let me do this. More. No, there's no more for you, Patrick. All right.
All okay, right. Try now.
All right, let's see here. There we are. What was that all about? Oh my goodness. Okay.
It wasn't my fault.
Can you see this? He gives?
Yes.
Can you do this here? All right.
Yeah.
All I've been able to think about is the fact that about God's goodness and his grace, and the fact that he is constantly giving to us. The Bible says he needs nothing and no one. And that he is constantly giving. And God, so he's the one who gives without ceasing, right? And I just wanted to share a few scriptures and remind us about what the scripture says God has done and continues.
Yeah, yeah. Pastor, the blind can see, you know.
What's that?
The blind cannot see.
Ah! Okay. Well, let's see. Y'all don't know what Kweku talking about. He's talking about something like this. That's what Kweku is talking about. Has the blind been healed?
Yes, sir.
All right, there we go. Okay, so here we go.
Put spit on his eyes.
Amen. Amen. So God gives to us everything we need. And he's been doing it all year long, indeed all our lives long. And the beautiful thing is that he doesn't just do it for his people. He does it for everyone. The Bible says, Psalm 145, verse 9, I believe it says, God is good to all. He's good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. And so, but the beautiful thing about it is this. Believers, those who God, Christ, has opened our eyes to see him, to know him, to be redeemed, we get to thank and praise God for who he is and for what he's done. The world benefits by God, all that he does for them every day, but they don't know or they won't acknowledge the fact that it's God who woke them up this morning. It is God who keeps their heart beating. I found that out in a greater way this year. It is God who put food on the table and has given us all that we need. But we get to thank him and to praise him and to enjoy him as the God of all creation and as the sustainer of our lives. And so we get to do that. The world doesn't. What a privilege. What a privilege. Even the song we says, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. And so look at this scripture here, Luke chapter 6 and 35, Jesus teaching about us loving our enemies and doing good and lending. Let me tell you something. The time that our nation is in right now is a time when the real Christians are going to stand up, because the real Christians are not going out and buying guns and ammunition, getting ready for a civil war so they can shoot their enemies. That's not the real Christian. That's not real believer. Jesus said, but love your enemies. Last time I checked, loving your enemies is not killing them. Can I get an amen?
Thank you. Amen.
Glory. Amen. Jesus said, love your enemies, do good, and lend. Listen, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. And here's where I wanted to get to. Listen, for he is kind to the thankful and the evil. You know who we kind to? We are kind to people who are kind to us.
Ooh. Amen.
Hello? Isn't that way it works? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
We are kind to people who are kind to us. God have mercy on us. And listen, this is why no nation can call themselves a Christian nation, because I don't see any nation who are kind to evil people. I don't see any nation kind to unthankful. I hear people tell them, go back to you. Go back there. Go back. Don't come. Listen, he is kind. This is Jesus speaking about our Father in heaven. He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Mm. Why? Because he gives. He gives to everyone. Okay, but he's given to us, and that's my focus, is on how God has given to us. I put a little note there. He gives us meat. Look at this. Exodus 16 and 8. Also, Moses says that this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and the morning, bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. For the Lord gives you meat to eat. Now, we know this. We know this is the God. God is the one who furnishes all that we need to sustain ourselves. But here's the beautiful thing. God gave meat to people who were complaining. Now, I know nobody on this Zoom call complains. Or do we? Oh. And what are your complaints? They're not against, your complaints not against me, but against the Lord. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. Paul said, nor complain. This is something God is working in me, in my life. Listen, not out of my mouth, in my thoughts. Just in my thoughts. If I get to thinking like I'm start complaining, this comes up. Paul says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyers. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. In other words, God is supplying our every need. He's giving us everything that we need. He puts food on the table. He gives us strength. We're getting to that. He gives us strength to get up, to go to work, to do all that we do. And what does Paul say? Don't complain. Don't complain. Why? Because God is giving us everything that we need. Amen? Not only that, all this year long and this year approaching, he gives us ability. He gives us ability. Amen? He gives us the means. Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. Don't get hung up on the wealth. Don't get hung up. Just listen. He gives you power. The word in the Hebrew means he gives you the means, the capacity, the capability rather, the strength, the vigor, the power, the wherewithal to produce wealth or to get gain. And that was so that he may establish his covenant with the children of Israel. So God gives us the ability to do the things that we do. I'll never forget a story Carl shared with me years ago. He's into computer networking and security and all this type thing. And he shared with me a story of how when he was working at this one company, the department had a problem with a network. And they had multiple teams of people, not just one person, multiple teams of people working on this problem. And they had been working on it for I don't know how long, and no one could solve the problem. No one could solve the problem. And so Carl went in a room, or I don't know if he was at home or if he went in a room, but he got on his knees and he asked the Father. He said, Father, I know you know what the problem is, but we don't know what the problem is. Lord, it's almost like Daniel. When Daniel went in, they needed to interpret the king's dream, or king gonna kill everybody. And Carl said, Lord, please show me how to fix this. And while he was there, God gave him wisdom as to what the problem was. And Carl got up, went out, went to work, and said, and did this, and boom, everything opened up. The whole problem was resolved. The team that he was on was hailed as this great thing. And the team lead or the people of the project pulled him aside and said, "What'd you do? How did you know that that was the fix?" And Carl told him, he said, I prayed and asked God. God gives us ability. He gives you and I ability. Amen. And this is why we don't boast, you know, we don't boast in our own selves, because it is God who gives us the ability to do what we do. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:7, when there were some people saying, "Hey, I'm of Apollos." Another person said, "No, I like Paul." And one even person said, "No, I'm of Christ." So he exalted himself above everyone. And so people were being seditious and or sectarian. They were dividing and getting into their camps, kind of like, you know, we are today. And Paul said, he said, "Who's Apollos and who am I?" He said, "Apollos, I planted Apollos, watered, but it's God who gives the increase." God was the one that gave them the ability to be effective. It was God who did it. It wasn't them boasting in their own ability. And so God grants us fruitfulness in what we endeavor to accomplish for him. He's the one who does it, and we need to be reminded of that. Amen?
Amen.
So God not only gives us meat, he not only gives us ability, but he gives us territory and rest. The place that you and I occupy right now has been given to us by God. Amen. For Israel, it was physical land. It was physical territory. Joshua 1, every place the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. Well, for us, it's not physical territory. It's spiritual territory. And God takes us into the place where he wants us to be. And so Deuteronomy 12:10, it was be Moses who had said, "But when you cross over the Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit," he's given them land to inherit, but also he gives you rest from all your enemies round about. I could say a lot about that, but I won't. That'd be a whole different sermon. But God gives us territory and he gives us rest. And oftentimes you and I find ourselves in a struggle. We'll find ourselves in a battle, and God is keeping us in the battle, but afterward, he gives us rest. God does that too. All right? What else does he give? I'm getting real practical and real down to earth. Something that we take so much for granted, because we've got satellites and we've got Doppler radar and, you know, we've got all this, and we think, you know, but man can only see what God does, but God is the one who does it. So God, Job 5:10 says he gives rain on the earth. He gives rain on the earth, and he sends waters on the field. I know this is something you say, this is so simple. It's so simple, but if you don't have it, you're in a very bad way. And so God gives rain. Matter of fact, they say there's a storm coming across the whole nation. Will make its way here on New Year's Day. But it's starting in the Californias and in the California, and it's going to come all the way across the nation, dump snow and everything, but we're going to get primarily rain. Well, God gives the rain. He's the one who waters the fields so that it'll bring forth and bud, and we put seed in the earth and get a harvest out of it. Psalms 147:16, he says, he gives snow like wool and scatters the frost on the ashes as ashes, like ashes. Jeremiah 5:24, Jeremiah said, they do not say in their heart, "Let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain, both the former and the latter, in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest." Why? He gives the harvest because he gives the rain. And God rains upon our lives. I'm telling you, church, he rains in the natural, but he also rains showers of blessings. He rains showers of his presence, because we are like a flower in the field. We are the planting of the Lord. Isaiah 60 says, we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And just as he rains showers down upon the natural grass, so he rains showers of his presence and of his word upon our lives, that we may grow thereby. And so we thank God that he gives us all this. Now, we take it for granted, right? We take it for granted. And sometimes we even complain about it when it rains. Oh, shoot, I can't do what I want today. It's going to rain. Yeah, we do. I used to complain about the rain. Amen. Now I thank God for keeping me in the rain. Amen. I don't know for you people that work indoors, rain is not a problem for you. But some of us kind of work indoors and kind of outdoors. And when it rains, you know, it can get.
Yeah. Oh,
but instead of complaining about the rain, we need to recognize that God gives the rain, and we ought to be thankful for all that he gives us. All our sophisticated technology shows us the intricate wisdom of God in bringing us the rain. So we take it for granted. We just think it just happens, no problem. But man can, Jesus even said this in his day, man can tell when it's going to rain by looking at the sky, but only God can make it rain. Only God can make it rain. And so we recognize that it is him who's causing the rain, both in the natural and the spirit, upon our lives all this year long. And he gives it all, he gives it to us that we might be sustained. What else does he give? He gives wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Job said, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. That's what happened to Carl when the understanding came. The breath of the Almighty gives one understanding. Amen. And so we don't take credit for what we are able to acquire and to assimilate by the way of knowledge, because it is the gift of God. And oftentimes, you know, it's stunning to see someone boasting in how smart they are. You know, I got this PhD, I got that. Okay, that's great. You applied yourself and all that, but it's God who gives you the ability to acquire and assimilate knowledge. Amen? God Amen. Is the one who does this. It's not us to be able to have the aptitude to learn. Psalms 119 verses 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so God gives wisdom and understanding. The believer knows this, or should know it, and is therefore humbled by the fact that God has endowed him or her with such abilities. The believer doesn't boast in what they're able to do, but they boast in the God who has given them the wisdom and the knowledge, the capability to do what they do. And so we recognize that it comes from God. Solomon said in Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Amen.
Amen.
James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives. Who gives? My wife and I, in constant prayer with where she is in her situation, we've been gone over 3 months now. Amen. And looking for the way forward. And we trust God that we know he's going to give us wisdom. Why? Because his word says it. We just have to be patient. Amen. And allow God to do it in his time. Why he gives wisdom to all liberally, without reproach. We see the same thing happen in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, where Daniel says, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise. He gives wisdom to the wise. True wisdom and understanding comes from God. True wisdom. Here, he gives knowledge to those who have understanding. And I say he gives true wisdom because there is godly wisdom and there is devilish wisdom. But God gives godly wisdom. He is the origin of all godly wisdom. And he gives that to us. He's been giving it to us all year long. Indeed, all the time that we have known him, he's been giving it to us. And for that, we give him thanks. A lot of these things we take for granted. But at the end of the year, I'm just reminded that nothing, absolutely nothing, is taken for granted in this life as believers. Why? Because the believer recognizes that all he or she has comes from God. What is it, James chapter 1, I think it's verse 17, that says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And so this includes all physical life. And in this year, probably more than any other year, we constantly are thanking God for the fact, you know, I've heard it said all my life, growing up in the Baptist church, when the old saints would get up and testify, they would say, first giving honor to God, I want to thank him for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. Recognition that if God didn't wake you up, well, Job 33 and 4, the Spirit of God has made me. Job recognized, but inspired by God to write, the Spirit of God made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Amen. In other words, God's exhale became man's inhale when God blew into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. God exhaled and man inhaled. And so man, so life, man became a living soul, a living spirit. And if God were ever to cease to exist, and people say God doesn't exist. No, my friend, if God ever ceased to exist, nothing would exist, right? He is the giver of life to all things. Isaiah 42 and 5 reads, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, breath those who walk on it. In other words, God gives breath to every living thing. That's why Psalm 150 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Does everything that hath breath praise the Lord? No. But should everything that hath breath praise the Lord? Without question. Why? Because God gives to everything that lives, he gives breath. And so we thank God because, you know, he's given breath to those, he gave spirit to those who walked on it, and so many people have been taken away from us this year. We find ourselves thanking God for the time that we did have with those who were here, because we're not going to be angry with God. God is the one who keeps us. God is the one who's sustaining us in the midst of so many people passing away. So we'll continue to pray for those families, that they're comforted of God, comforted by the hand of God as their loved ones have passed on, but God by his grace has kept so many others of us here. And what would happen by the grace of God if God didn't do anything? I'm reminded about in the Old Testament when God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem because David numbered the children of Israel. And God sent an angel to destroy it was killing a plague, a famine had caught hold in the land, not a famine, but a plague, and people were dying. And the Bible says that David sought the Lord and he said, go to the threshing floor of Ornan. And David went there and he saw the angel of the Lord with his sword stretched out over Jerusalem. And he was about to destroy it. And the Lord said, and the Lord relented. And he said, stay your hand. In other words, if God did not stay the angel's hand, because he had already told him to destroy it, Jerusalem would have been destroyed. You see, and so God by his mercies He gives us breath, he gives us life, and he sustains that life. Amen. I'll never forget my oldest sister was geared across the street. I shared this story before. And she hit the button on the light post, and the traffic stopped, and the walk sign came on for her to walk. And she went to take a step to walk, and on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, "Stop!" And she stopped. It just arrested her. She stopped, and a Metro bus had come through the red light. And right where she was, it went right in front of her and just kept right on going. And she would have lost her life. But God, for his mercy and his grace. And people say people don't hear from God today. I got news for you. Yes, we do. Acts 17 and 25, listen to what it says. Paul said, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything." God needs nothing. Yet there I've been listening to preachers on YouTube saying, "God needs us to do this and God needs us to do that." And I'm thinking to myself, no, God doesn't need anything. Hello, we need God. We need to obey God. We need to hear God. He says, pray, we need to pray. He says, fast, we need to fast. But he is in worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. God is the one. Listen, every day we get up, God gives breath. He gives life to everything. To everything, to all things that have life, he's given life. John 1 and 3 says that without him, all the things that were made by him, and without him is not anything made that's made. And so we go on, 1 Timothy 6:13, Paul says, "I urge you, Timothy, in the sight of God, who gives life to all things." Who gives life to all things, the scripture said. And man, our scientists right now in America and around the globe are planning trips to, Europa, a moon of Jupiter. They're planning a trip to Enceladus and Titan, moons of Saturn. Why are they planning these trips? They're planning to send probes there because they're looking for life. And they may very well find it. There may be life. Microbial life. I don't know. Well, there may be life on Enceladus or Europa or Titan. And if it is, man will say Herod himself is a great thing, as we like to do. But for us, we know that God is the author of all life. He gives to life all things. And so we'll magnify him, amen, and not ourselves. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says this: "Here is what I have seen," Solomon says, "it is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him." You and I are alive today because God has given us life. And when he doesn't want that anymore, we'll be gone. Amen. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we aren't holding on to anything here. Holding fast to Jesus. Not only does he give us life, but he gives us songs. Job said, "But no one says, where is my God who gives songs in the night?" He gives songs in the night. You ever been going through a dark season of your soul, dark night of the soul? You've been going through a hard time and depression and discouragement settle in, and you know, but you're going about your life, you're doing it as best you can, and either a song on the radio or on the television or on the internet or someone singing, a song will come to you, and that song ministered life to your spirit and lifted you up. out of your depression, the dark clouds began to fade away. And it was like the light of God shone down on your soul. God is the one who gives us songs. He gives us songs. And I know my wife has told me on, I don't know how many times, especially now, even she's been in North Carolina taking care of her mother. And when she's just felt so alone and so tired, emotionally drained. And then she'll put on whatever music, and there's a particular song that just kept ministering to her, kept ministering to her, kept ministering to her. And I most powerfully, I remember in my, as growing up, and my mother, because my father died when I was four. My brother died when I was two or one. And my sister died when I was five, or my sister died when I was seven. So in the span of 10 years, my mother lost her husband, her firstborn son, and her lastborn daughter in a space of about 7 to 10 years, I believe it was. And so she was going through a very dark time, and it was hard. And but I'll never forget, a man by the name of James Cleveland came along, and he started singing a song called "Lord, Help Me to Hold Out." And he sang other songs, and "Peace Be Still," and these songs that my mother, I remember as a little boy walking through the house and hearing my mother play these songs over and over and over again, because they were songs that God had given to lift her up and to carry her through a season. Psalm 32 and verse 7, David said, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." You know, most of the songs that David wrote, the songs that we sing out of the book of Psalms, he wrote a number of them while he was running from David, while he was running from King Saul, excuse me. He penned those in the dark night of his soul. And yet we sing them today, and they carry us through today. Not only do we sing them, but we lean upon them. We quote them. We meditate upon them. Why? Because God gives us songs. He gives us songs. And for me, I know we have beautiful songwriters that write courses. This course is coming out every day, and they're carrying this current generation through a time. But for me, it's the hymns. I grew up in the Baptist church, and we sang hymns. And boy, these hymns that they wrote over 200 years ago now are just so, they just minister to my soul. And I know that they've been given to us of God. Deliverance and strength. David said in Psalm 18 and verse 50, "Great deliverance he gives to his king." Great deliverance he gives to his king. And he shows mercy to his anointed, the sure mercies of David. And so you and I are kings and priests, and God gives us deliverance. Amen? He gives us deliverance. He gives us strength, the scripture says. All this year, God has strengthened us. David said in Psalm 68, "Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people." The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. And then I can't mention this without mentioning Isaiah 40 and 29, which says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." We know what the scripture says. He gives power to the weak. So whenever we're feeling weak, whenever we're feeling like we don't have what it takes to go on, we can cry out to God and know that he gives us strength. Matter of fact, that's the only way some of the times we ever make it, because we didn't make it on our own strength. We didn't make it on our own strength. We sang the song last week. David in Psalm 73 says, he says, "My heart and my strength, they fail, but God is the strength of my heart." God is the strength of my heart. So he gives us strength. When you're fighting through an illness in your body and you're infirm and you get discouraged in your spirit, I believe it's Proverbs 18:14 says that the spirit of man will sustain him in his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The spirit of man, it's the spirit of man that God gives power and strength to sustain us while we're infirmed or weak in our body. It gives us strength to go on and say, I believe I can make it. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God to live and not die and see the salvation of the Lord with me. Amen. So he gives us strength. He not only gives us strength, but he gives us sleep. Psalm 127, verse 2. Well, let me quote Psalm 127, verse 1, because it goes with this. The psalmist said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the wakeman watches and is looking on his post. He's staying on his post in vain, right? Then we get to this, and it says, it is vain for you to rise up early. And so the vanity in verse 2 is tied to the vanity in verse 1. In other words, if God's building your house, you don't have to worry about it. If God's guarding your city, if God's guarding your house, you don't need AT&T, ADT. Amen. You don't need all of these security services. If God is guarding your house, well, then he goes on in here and says, listen, it's vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. In other words, worrying about, are we going to have enough? Is he going to make it? Is she going to make it? It's vain. It's empty. It's like the wind. To worry about it, why? For so he gives his beloved sleep. He gives us rest. Amen. Somebody needs that today.
Amen.
Yes, he gives us rest. He gives us sleep so that we can lay our head down. Psalm, David mentions it in Psalm 3, I believe, and in Psalm 4. Now, he says he lays down and sleeps in safety because you, O God, calls me to dwell in safety. He says, I lay me down and I sleep in peace because you calls me to lay down in safety, to rest in safety. For he gives his beloved sleep. So you can sleep and rest and not worry. And if you're ever up and you don't know why, let me encourage you to intercede and go into a time of prayer. I found out that's most often the time that we can't sleep as believers in Jesus. He gives us food. You say, this is so obvious. Yeah. Until you don't have any. Amen. No, he gives us food and we need to be thankful. Do we still pray over our food? Psalm 136, the psalmist said, who gives food to all flesh? Not just to his people, to all flesh. God gives food. Psalm 146, verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. He gives food to the hungry. Now, oftentimes, probably the most significant way that he does it is through other people. But he does it. Israel was even commanded not to glean the corners of their field, but to leave it for the poor. Why? Because God was giving to the poor through his people. And he does the same thing today. And I've always, you know, always had it in my heart and always wanted to have extra to give to someone else. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. Psalm 147, verse 9, he gives to the beasts its food and to the young ravens that cry. Jesus even alluded to this when he said that God feeds the sparrows. He says, your heavenly Father feeds the birds of the field. Of how much more value are you than sparrows? Then he went on and he said, then why are you worrying about your life? Why are you worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and what you're going to put on? The body is more important than food. What Jesus is saying, listen, if God is giving you life, then he's going to give you everything you need to sustain that life. If God gives you a body, which he has, he's going to give you everything you need to clothe that body. If God gives you a body that requires food and drink, he's going to give you everything you need to sustain the body. So Jesus went on to say, don't worry about all these things, because after all these things, the Gentiles seek. He said, don't seek that. So listen, church, you and I, we don't have to get up every day worrying about about what's going to happen. I'm sure some of us did when the pandemic hit. It hit and we said, oh my goodness, how am I going to make money? How am I going to do? Look, as far as I've seen everybody, there's no skeletons on this thing. Everybody looked pretty healthy. Amen. Looks like everybody got something to eat. Why? Because, listen, God will take care. Isn't that what the song says? Of you. God has promised he's going to take care of us. So we don't have to worry about those things. We don't even have to go seeking those things, Jesus said. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen, Jesus said this, your father has taken care of everything you need so you can be free to seek the kingdom. And then he even goes in the book of Luke, he says this, but it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You notice, God always asks you to seek what he's giving. He's never asking you to seek and say, I'm going to hide it from you and make sure you can't get it. No, man does that. God doesn't. Amen. God says, seek and you shall
find.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ask and you shall receive. My God, I'm preaching myself happy. Hello, boy. Hey. Look, knock and it shall. God does not, what he is making available to us, what he wants us to have, he tells us to ask for it. Seek it. That's why it's so important when Jamie said, pray for my father, pray for my mother. That's exactly what Jesus wanted her to do, wanted us to do. Why? Because he says, I will heal them. So you come to me and I will heal. So we see that God gives us, he's given us a body. He's going to sustain the body. We don't have to worry about all these things. We just need to seek first his kingdom. Jesus said, and all these things are going to be added unto us. So, you know, you say, but Pastor, but yeah, I ain't seeking food, but it's the job that gets the food to my table. Yeah. You think he understands that? Oh, he understands that. He got it all. He's done. He has it, and he provides, and we live to see it, and we live to give God thanks and praise. Oh, here's one. God gives, well, let me read it. This has pertaining to the kingdom of men, and this is right, has to do with the political season that we find ourselves in. Daniel 4:17 says this, this decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Now, and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowest of men. So right now in our world, in the United States, in Belize, come on, in Andorra, in Uganda, in Germany, in every nation, God is reigning. He's reigning over every head of state. He rules over every government. Amen. Now, we can't make total sense of it because we're not God. And he didn't ask me to make total sense of it. All he asked me to do is know this, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. And he gives it to whomever he will. You mean in all the craziness that's going on in this world? I ain't talking about just the United States. I'm talking about in this world. United States, we can be so egocentric. We think everything is about the United States. Everything is not about the United States. It's about God ruling over all things. He rules over all, okay? And so he's ruling over all the nations. He's over all the heads of state. And he wants the living to know it. And we say in scripture that when God repeats something, there's a reason for it. And we see it here repeated three times. So first in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, again in verse 25, they shall drive you from men. Daniel speaking, interpreting the dream to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven. In other words, you'll be outside the elements, getting wet 7 times or 7 years shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules. So in the first, in verse 17, it says, it's for the living to know that the Most High rules. In this account, it says that you might know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And so God sets over kingdoms and over nations whomever he wills. And we, what is it, Proverbs 16, I believe in verse 24, says that a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can he understand his own way? Hello? In other words, when God's doing it, you're not going to be able to understand it. And so when we see things happening here, there, and everywhere, we say, like God owes us an explanation. God, why'd you do that? Hello? No one can ask him what he's doing, the scripture says. But know this, he rules in the kingdom of men. And those men that he allows to be in power, those men and those women, they're going to have to answer to him. The third time, Daniel 4:32, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times. And this time is when the angel, a voice from heaven, is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar because he would not repent and humble himself. He says this, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. So I'm not worried about I'm not worried about who's president. Amen. I'm not worried about who's king there, prime minister over there, strongman, dictator, authoritarian. I'm not worried about it, right? Because God's ruling in the kingdom of men. Amen.
And amen.
So we need to know and be okay. And Paul wrote, in his day, they had an emperor on the throne who was ruling and could kill anybody anytime he wanted to. And he did. And yet Paul's eyes were on the Lord. And he caused the church and called the church to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's where we need to be today. So God, not only he rules over the kingdom of men, but he gives us eternal life and otherwise. John 5:21, Jesus said, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. Jesus declaring himself equal with the Father. Just as the Father gave life, so even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So in Luke chapter 7, when the widow of Nain was walking out with her dead son in the coffin that they were carrying, Jesus goes over, has compassion on her, the scripture says, and raises her son from the dead. In John chapter 11, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And in another Luke chapter, I forget which chapter, 8 perhaps, he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And so on and on and on it goes. He gives life. He gives life. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom you believe, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So God gives life. He did it then. He's doing it now. He gives not only physical life. He gives spiritual life. He gives eternal life. John 6:32-33, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus comes down from heaven and gives life. Now, not everyone's receiving that life, but he comes to give that life. Whosoever will. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus went on to say in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life. And so here the Spirit is equated with the Father and with the Son. Jesus said the Father gives life to whom he will, so the Son gives life to whom he will. And then he comes here and says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:6, who also has made us sufficient ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. It was the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the Scripture tells. It was the Spirit of God that hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 3, thereabouts. The Spirit of God brought life. Not only life and eternal life, but he gives us peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's the end of the year, and you know, people have these year-end reviews about life, and someone said, we have nothing good to say about 2020. And I thought to myself, oh, we got plenty good to say about 2020. Oh, yes, we do. The fact that we have anything to say is good, because we are here. God has kept us, and he's giving us peace. He gives us peace not as the world gives. The world has no peace to give because the world can't see past today. The world can't see past the gloomy forecast of next month and next year and so forth and so on. But Jesus said, I come so that you may have peace, not as the world gives. And aren't we thankful that he has given us this peace? Couple more, and I could preach on this one all day. All things. God gives us all things. 1 Timothy 6:17. Paul said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So what we notice here is that God gives us richly all things to enjoy. He does not give us things so we could put our trust in them. The God who gives us all things to enjoy wants us to put our trust in him. Why? Because the riches of this age are uncertain. Proverbs 23 and verse 5 says, riches make themselves wings and fly away, right? The riches of this life are not enduring. They're not everlasting. They're temporal. And so Paul commands that even those believers who are rich in this present age, you may have a lot of stuff, you may have a lot of possessions, but be careful, don't trust in them. But in the living God who allowed you to have those possessions so that you can enjoy life. But isn't it interesting that oftentimes having a lot of possessions does the exact opposite with us? Having a lot of things can draw our time away from the God who gave us the thing, where we seek the gift and not the giver, where we put our trust in the gift or in the things that he gives instead of the one who's given us all things. We must recognize that it is God who's given us all that we have, and we must honor him as such. And then the last one is grace. God gives us grace. And here again, this is mentioned three times in particular in the scriptures. In Proverbs 3:34, Solomon said, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace. That word grace means favor, means acceptance, pleasure. He gives, and not worldly pleasure, not fleshly pleasure, but the person is in a place of being pleasant before God. His grace is upon them. His benefit is upon them. So God gives grace to the humble, and it's not I don't want to get it backwards or mixed up. A person doesn't get the grace of God because they're humble. A person becomes humble because God's grace has been placed upon them. See, God is first in everything. He's the first. He's the initiator. He's the mover. He's the one that starts it all. And so we don't earn God's grace because we're humble. But we become humble because God has shed his grace on thee. James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So James looks back to Proverbs 3 and quotes Solomon in his letter. Not only does he do it, Peter does it in 1 Peter 5 and 5, where he says, yes, all you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. So in other words, the result of God's grace in our lives is humility. It's humility. Let me read what one commentary said about humility. It says it's a freedom from arrogance, and this freedom from arrogance grows out of the recognition that all we have and all we are comes from God. Hey, all we have and all we are comes from God. Even Paul said in the book of Romans in chapter 4, he said if Abraham had whereof to boast, it was not before God. Because God caused him, God made a promise to Abraham that rested upon not his works. But he made a covenant with him not based upon his works, but based upon a promise. And so Abraham had no place to boast. And we find ourselves in the same place. Because God's covenant with us was not about the works of righteousness that we have done. But by his grace, he saved us with the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus chapter 3 tells us. Amen. It's by God's grace. And therefore, we find ourselves humble before God, knowing that everything I have and everything I am, it comes from God. He goes on to say, the Greek philosophers despised humility because it implied inadequacy, lack of dignity, and worthlessness to them. This is not the meaning of humility as defined by the Bible. Jesus is the supreme example of humility, and he is completely adequate and of infinite dignity and worth. Biblical humility is not a belittling of oneself, but an exalting or praising of others, especially God and Christ. A humble person then focuses more on God and others than himself. And so this is why we focus on the fact that God gives to us all that we have. He has made us who we are, and we praise him as the God of our life. This dictionary, Nelson's dictionary, goes on and says, biblical humility is also a recognition that by ourselves we are inadequate, without dignity, and worthless. Yet because we are created in God's image, and because believers are in Christ, all people are created in God's image, and believers are in Christ, we have infinite worth and dignity. Infinite worth and dignity. True humility does not produce pride, but gratitude. True humility does not produce pride, but gratitude. Because one recognizes that it wasn't them. It's all been God. Since God is both our creator and redeemer, our existence and our righteousness depend. And so God gives us everything that we need. He gives us all things. There isn't a thing that we have that we haven't gotten from God. And in such a case, we need to be thankful. We need to recognize him. We need to make mention of that. We need to glorify him. We need to live a life worthy, a life thankful of all that he's done for us and who he is in us and to us through Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Amen.
Father, we recognize that all we've needed has come from your hand. We acknowledge, oh God, your word says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. We acknowledge, oh God, it has been your righteous right hand that has kept us all this year. Lord, when pestilence was on the right hand and on the left, and Father, we don't know how many circumstances, how many places we walked into and virus was present, and Lord, yet you kept us. Father, we thank you because we recognize that we are alive today because of your mercies and your goodness and your grace. Father, we also recognize that you've taken many to be with you, many believers, and many unbelievers have lost their lives. You are sovereign, and we acknowledge you as sovereign. We thank you, oh God, that we are in the palm of your hand, Jesus said, and no one can pluck us out. We are grateful, oh God, that you kept us all this year. Your faithfulness never failed. Your mercies, Lord, are everlasting. Your truth endures throughout all generations, Lord, and your mighty goodness, Lord, has been evident in our hearts, in our homes, in our families all this year long. And Father, for that we give you thanks. And Lord, we continue to lean upon you and to rely upon you and to put our trust in you and to have our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, for he who has begun a good work in us is going to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, that he who has called us, Lord, you're going to finish, O God, what you started. You are going to end, O God, Lord, that which you brought into being, O Father, and we thank you that your faithfulness never fails. So we pray, Lord, as we close out this year, Lord, that our hearts would be so full of acknowledging the goodness of your grace. Lord, as we embrace the new year that's ahead of us, may we, oh God, be so dependent and so know how very desperate we are for you in all things. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
We love you. Does anyone need to share a testimony, a praise report, a thank you, Jesus? Go right ahead.
Well, the Crawford household is thankful just for God's faithfulness.
Amen.
For God's compassion, for his kindness, for his long suffering, for his steadfastness, just for his faithfulness, him being God in our lives, despite ourselves.
Hey.
We're grateful and thankful. We remain grateful and humble just by his goodness, you know, regardless of our shortcomings, regardless, like I said, despite ourselves. He is nonetheless good. His love does not burn any less hot for us. We're doing right or doing wrong. His love still burns hot for us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
I appreciate that.
Amen.
And I need that.
Amen. Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Oh, give him thanks and praise. Who's next?
Well, I'm grateful to God for his many blessings.
Yes.
Yes, he has certainly been good. I will have to say, like my brother-in-law say, I'm so glad to be on this side than the other. That God has been truly wonderful. And you know, he's just faithful. He's just good. And I'm grateful for all that he has done and all that he is going to do. I can look back and see what God has done, and I can say, I can shout hallelujah, because truly he has been looking out and he has been providing and he has been encouraging by his saints and by the Spirit of God to get us through, and how mighty he is. He's more mightier than we can ever even imagine. And so I'm just thankful for this great almighty God.
Amen.
That, when I wake up in the morning and then the sun is shining or the clouds are out there, I can still say thank you that he's given me a roof over my head and I got the activities of my limbs and I'm clothing my right mind to be able to be proud and say, Lord, thank you. I am grateful and know that he didn't have to do it, but he has, and
amen.
I'm grateful.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me say something now. I got to tell you. Look, I keep you here all day long because I'm full. I'll tell you, I'm full. So, you know, I had that heart thing. Yeah, amen. And I've been in and out the doctors. They want to look at everything. They don't want to leave me alone. They keep putting me on. Now we want you to do this. We want you to do that. So last Monday or whatever it was, I went to the cardiologist. And they put me on these two medications. And one was to slow your heart down if it gets going fast. And the other one was a blood thinner, so you don't get a blood clot going to your brain. So the cardiologist said, you don't need to be on that blood thinner anymore. I said, I thank you. Appreciate that. And she says, but now this other one that you've been taking. I said, I ain't been taking that. And she said, well, why not? I said, well, because they told me it slows your heart down. And my heart beating fine. And so if I take it, my heart would be beating slower. She says, well, but we want your heart beating slow around 30, between 30 and 40. I looked at the woman like she was crazy. I looked at her like, no, it ain't setting well with me at all. My resting heart rate was 60 beats per minute. That's the low end, unless you're an athlete, unless you. And so she said, well, how much of that stuff were you supposed to be taking? I said, well, 240 milligrams. She said, but that's the wrong amount. You shouldn't be taking that much. I looked at her like, you think? Yeah. No, I wasn't taking it because the Holy Ghost give you sense to know when you ought to be doing something and when you not to be doing something. Hey, look here. I'm thankful to God, church. Do you hear me? I am grateful to God that he watches over us. And so she says, well, you know that one that you weren't taking that they wanted you to take? Well, I don't want you to take it. I said, she says, well, we want you to take something else. And I looked at her and I said, doc, I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? That medication that's supposed to slow your heart down, why don't, if I take it, I have it if I need it. But if I don't need it, I don't take it. Now the patient will become the doctor. And the doctor said, hey, you know what? Yeah, that's the way it ought to be. She said, so you won't be on any medication. I was like, now that's what I'm waiting to hear. And she said, okay, there you go. And I was like, Lord Jesus, come on, y'all. Look, I am so grateful. I am so thankful. And I'm not done, but I'm gonna end there. I'm gonna end there because God is good, church. He watches over us. He watches over us day and night, even when we're not watching over ourselves, even when we're not looking out for ourselves, he is. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
Yeah. Pastor, you know, 3 days ago, I was walking, right? And I felt so strong. I felt like punching a wall, you know, or a tree, something like that. I mean, he just came to me. I said, wow, man, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, in my old age, you know, I felt like punching a tree or a wall. So I just thank God, you know,
amen,
that in spite of all that's going on, I'm still alive.
Brother.
I just thank God.
Amen.
There's nothing to say, you know.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Brother Quake, who said he can run through a troop and leap over a wall?
Yeah, I was still punching that thing. Amen.
Let me share something else. Let me share something else. Real quick. My two brother-in-laws came home in North Carolina, and they are with my wife and her mother right now. And they're going to be with her all week long. Now, here's what I want you to know, because I don't even know if my wife knows it, but my children know it. So when they came home, right, I got on, later on, I got on the video chat, and I was talking to my wife, and I heard, you could hear in her voice, there was a bounce. And like, kind of like Quaker was going on Quaker. There was a strength. There was a vigor. She was like, she's feeling good, you know, because she wasn't there all by herself. You understand what I'm saying? God knows what we need. And before then, I don't think my wife knew if anyone's coming home, you know, but they came home and it just strengthened her. And I am so glad that they're there with her. And pray for me, because in another week or two, I hope to be in North Carolina. And Moses or Bill are going to be preaching. Amen. Doing this. Amen. Coming to you. Amen. But I won't be. Glory to God. I'm just going to put that out there so you get that. But because bro got to go. You know, go see my wife. I ain't seen my wife in over 3 months. Oh, my goodness. Look here. We are one flesh, beloved. Amen. Brother Moses, Brother Bill, I'll be getting in touch with one of y'all, but somebody gonna be sitting here. Amen. Or there. Okay, anyone else? All right. If we have no one else, then we're gonna sign off until next week. The Lord be with you and keep you and bless you and strengthen you. And for those of you who can make prayer, we'll see you on prayer night. Otherwise, we'll see you next Sunday at 2 p.m.
Next year. Amen.
Oh, I got a question, Pastor.
Sure.
Did y'all get the check I put in the mail?
Oh, that's in the church mailbox. I don't know. I have to check. I have to check with Sherry.
Okay.
I'm sure it's there. I feel there. Oh, Bill said they got it.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. God bless you all.
God bless you too.
Bless you.
Bye.